prepare for a true revolution.
Actually, you can prove God exists.
Questioning tradition, because what you've been taught isn't always true.
The truth will set you free.
Good morning, Truth Revolution. I am Dave. With me is Pastor Jeff of Revolution Church. And this is where faith and reason meet.
That is where faith and reason meet.
Yes.
I love it when faith and reason meet.
I love it when a plan comes together.
Thanks for joining us today on Truth Revolution. We are talking about whether or not Jesus claimed to be God.
Oh, come on.
What?
We know the answer to this already, don't we?
That's why we're doing the show on
it. Oh, okay.
You're right. We do know the answer.
Now, could you imagine us doing a show on something we didn't know the answer about?
Today, we're doing a show on how electron microscopes are built.
And you're going to be listening to a lot of pages flipping and a bunch of typing because we're doing research.
We are talking about something we purport to know about, whether or not Jesus claimed to be God. We also have a listener question, and we're going to answer a Bible contradiction, as usual, using our cracked acronym.
Mm-hmm. It's not a contradiction. I'm just telling you, right? It's I'm giving you a spoiler alert here. Not a contradiction.
No, okay. But, yeah, if you are a Christian, listen to the show, follower of Jesus, glad you're here. You're going to be able to understand how you can defend that Jesus claimed to be God.
Yeah.
If you're not a Christian, if you've not sure where you are with Jesus, this is a good question a lot of people put out there.
Right. Well,
how do I know this?
Yeah, some people say, well, Jesus never really claimed to be God because we got all these other religions out there saying, hey, Jesus was a good man.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Well, if Jesus was a good man and he claimed to be God but really wasn't, he's not a good man.
Oh, yeah. If we have time, we're at the end of the show, we're going to look at what some of the other religions claim about mm-hmm. Jesus. You know, Hinduism claims that Jesus was a true teacher. Buddhism says he was an enlightened one. Islam says he was a prophet. But we claim he was God. And
right. And we claim that he claims that he was God. So if he is a good man, a good teacher, and a good prophet, then he is who he says he was.
Well, we will see.
Okay. Well, we're going to jump through some evidence then.
Now, let me make something absolutely clear.
All right.
We want to know whether or not he claimed to be God, but we can't ask whether or not he claimed to be God by saying, I am God. Because right. he never said that.
Right. He used language that the Pharisees obviously understood because they tore their cloaks over.
You know? Yeah. We have to ask whether or not he claimed to be God in a way that people in his century, mm-hmm. in his culture, Jews in first century Palestine under the Roman rule,
wait a minute,
would understand.
Are we using the cracked acronym here?
What? Oh, yes.
Oh, snap.
The first C is context. Historical context.
So it is for just more than just solving Bible contradictions.
It's actually, the cracked acronym is all about hermeneutics. How do you read the Bible? And how do you read it well?
Wow, we just took this to a whole new level.
That's right. Well, that's why we're interested in maybe doing a book about the cracked mm-hmm. acronym. And if someone is listening and you are thinking, you know, maybe I would get a book about the cracked acronym, let us know. We've got a few people who've signed up for this.
Yeah, we've got some interest.
And so I was in Miami last week giving a conference on this.
Yes, you were. Left me by myself.
I know. Dave didn't come along. He was scared of the alligators. But we were in Miami doing this, and a bunch of them wanted the book. Mm-hmm. We talked about the crack acronym, and really good stuff. So now I'm back in Kansas. Glad to be back. But if there's a listener here who might want this book, send an email or a text message. Just do it right now so you don't forget.
Right.
To questions@truthrevolution.tv.
There you go. And we'll get right on it.
Questions@truthrevolution.tv.
We'll get Jeff right on it.
Yeah. I'm not going to write this book unless people actually want it. I'm not going to waste my time. But if people actually want it and would use it, I will do this.
I don't think it's going to be a waste of time because I want the book.
Because you want it.
Yeah.
All right. So that's what you always say. So this is good. Now, the question is whether or not using C, historical context, mm-hmm. did Jesus claim to be God? And the interesting thing is we are going to find out that, well, he did. He did claim to be mm-hmm. God. If you look, for instance, Matthew 28, verse 17. This is really interesting. It says this.
When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. You're pointing out here that some doubted, right?
Some did doubt, but what we're pointing out is that some people worshipped him. Jesus.
Right.
And he allowed them mm-hmm. to worship him. And this is significant because all over in the Bible, if people try to worship Christians, like the Apostle Paul, or if angels come down and people try to worship the angels, everybody says, no, don't do that. I'm not God.
I remember specifically in Daniel, when Daniel fell on his face and the angels like, no, get up.
Yeah, get up right now. I'm not God. I'm a servant like you. You know, people tried to worship Paul after he's doing some miracles. Mm-hmm. He says, no, I'm a human being. Don't worship me. And people fall down and they worship Jesus. And Jesus is like,
you know what time it is.
That's right. This is a big deal. And their culture in that time, allowing someone to worship you are making a claim. Mm-hmm. Now, John 20, verses 28 and 29, we see Thomas talking.
Thomas said to him, my Lord and my God. Then Jesus told him, because you have seen me, you have believed.
Well, here someone calls him God, straight up.
And he didn't even skip a beat.
No, Jesus commends him for it. He's like, yep, that's right. Good job. You've believed. And he says it was a good thing. In John chapter 10, verse 30 to 33.
I and the Father are one.
Now, wait a minute. He said, I and the Father are one. We don't think that's a big deal because I'm like, oh, my wife and I were like one. You know, we work together well.
Yeah.
But the question isn't what they would do in our century. The question is, how did people in their century view that?
How did they take that?
And when Jesus said, I and the Father are one, listen to how the people responded.
Again, the Jews picked up stones to stone him. But Jesus said to them, I have shown you many great miracles from the Father. For which of these do you stone me? We are not stoning you for any of these, replied the Jews, but for blasphemy, because you, a mere man, claim to be God.
In their time, in their culture, they knew he's claiming to be God.
I and the Father are one.
He made the claim. They knew it. They were going to kill him for it. I can't overstate this.
Right.
They were going to execute a capital punishment because their law condemned him to death as a human being who claimed to be God, which is illegal.
Right.
They knew he claimed to be God. And Jesus didn't refute that he was God.
Right. He didn't say, oh, no, that's not what I meant.
Yeah, I didn't mean that. Yeah, that was an accident.
That didn't even come about.
No. He claimed to be God. He said, I and the Father are one. They all understood it, so they're going to kill him for it. When we ask the question, did Jesus claim to be God? We have to stop and get out of our 21st century mindset. Mm-hmm. We have to say, in the first century, did these people believe he was claiming to be God? Because if they think he was claiming to be God, then he was.
Right.
We would never look like, you know, let's go back 1,000 years. Let's go back to the year 1014. Uh-huh. And we would never look back and go, I see a guy who lived back then. I'm trying to figure out if he's a scientist or not. But he doesn't have an electron microscope.
Well, shame on him.
He must not be a scientist.
He's doing science with one hand tied behind his back.
No, he's not even doing...
He's an amateur.
He's not even doing science, Dave. Oh, he doesn't have an electron microscope.
Wow.
Never mind that it was invented in the 1900s.
But, you know, he would claim to be a scientist.
But, no, you see the point? Like, the point is, we wouldn't say he's not a scientist just because he didn't have an electron microscope. Because electron microscopes weren't invented until the last century.
Right, because we know the context.
We know the context, right? The context in Jesus' time was, hey, when you say I and the Father are one, you're claiming to be God.
That's right. So get with it and learn the context.
That's right. I think it's time for us to do a Bible contradiction.
Bible contradiction.
Rawr! Today's Bible contradiction is brought to you by the fine folks at thethinkingatheist.com.
All right.
What?
Thethinkingatheist.com? Isn't it usually .org? Is this a different group?
I don't know. No.
Okay.
It's the same group.
All right.
I just typed it down real quick. So okay. I might be wrong. It doesn't matter. Does it?
I don't know.
We don't want to plug them or anything.
You're not, you're not infallible, so it doesn't matter.
That's true. Who did the Midianites sell Joseph to?
Okay.
Genesis 37, in the very same chapter.
Yeah.
Like about, what, less than 10 verses apart, they contradict themselves. Genesis 37:28 in the King James Version says, then there passed by Midianites merchantmen. And they drew up and lifted up Joseph out of the pit and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver, and they brought Joseph into Egypt. So the Midianites sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites. Genesis 37:36, only 8 verses later, and the Midianites sold him into Egypt unto Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh's and a captain of the guard. So sold to Potiphar, same chapter, same book.
So were they sold to the... Ishmaelites or to Potiphar?
In Genesis 37:28 says Midianites sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites. And verse 36 says sold to Potiphar. Same chapter, same book.
No. Okay. I was actually confused about what they meant this, what they thought this meant. In Genesis 37:28, and again, use our cracked acronym, we're going to go with the second C, credibility.
Okay.
I actually have a better contradiction than they do on this verse. But
do you really?
I have a, okay, go with the second C, credibility. Funny. All you got to do is read it carefully. Mm-hmm. When it says that they drew and lifted Joseph out of the pit, it's not referring to the Midianites. It's referring to Joseph's brothers.
Okay.
So it was Joseph's brothers who sold him to the Midianites, and it was the Midianites who sold him to Potiphar. So that's not a contradiction.
Okay.
What?
Well, it says here that they sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites.
Right. Okay. Well, and that's the better contradiction, but that's not the one they're pointing out.
All right.
They were saying, who did the Midianites sell Joseph to? Well, the Midianites and the Ishmaelites were the same people.
Oh.
If you look at our C in the cracked acronym, which is context, you got to read the whole context. If you go back a few verses and you just read it rightly, you'll see it's the same person. It's like saying, I went to Florida this last week. Uh-huh. And I was talking to some people from Miami.
Right.
Well, which was it? Was it Florida or Miami?
You talked to some Floridans in Miami?
Right.
What were they for? Vacation? Yeah.
I also talked to some Americans.
What? Wow, that's blowing
my
mind.
Well, which is it? Americans, Floridians, or Miamians? I knew what they were called.
Okay, I see what you
should have looked it up before I mentioned it, but you see what I'm getting at? Mm-hmm. Ishmaelites, the Midianites, it's the same thing. And it wasn't the Midianites who sold them to the Ishmaelites, it was Joseph's brother who sold them to Midianites, and then they sold them to Potiphar.
Okay. So
that's the answer for a Bible contradiction.
Bible contradiction.
You know, you had me, Jeff.
That seemed overly complicated.
It did. You had me because I was thinking, and I'm typing this out. I'm like, he's not going to get this one.
Are you serious?
I knew better. I mean, I was more like, how's he going to get this one?
No, it's actually funny because we answered this one in Florida just last week while we were there. We brought it up and we used it as an example.
So you were already prepared for that.
You would have thought my explanation would have been clearer since we just did it in Miami. But where was I? Was it Miami or Florida?
I don't know. You were...
See for context.
Right.
All right, here we go.
Look on the map.
Back to the context. All right. Jesus, did he claim to be God or not? And we saw that he receives worship.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a big deal. And we have to ask the question, Dave, what question are we asking?
Did Jesus actually claim to be God?
But not just did he claim to be God. What are we actually asking?
Is Jesus God?
No.
Why are you asking me these hard questions?
We're actually asking not did he claim to be God, but did he claim to be God in his century, in his culture?
That's what I said.
Right. Not in a way that our culture gets it, but a way that his culture gets it.
Right.
That is, in our cracked acronym, C is context. You got to get the historical context. Mm-hmm. It's huge. If you miss the context, you're going to misunderstand the Bible, and then you're going to misapply it in all kinds of crazy ways.
Right.
So let's go on here. Matthew chapter 9,
mm-hmm.
it talks about Jesus. He was participating in something here. Let's read this story.
All right. Jesus stepped into a boat, crossed over, and came to his own town. Some men brought him to a paralytic lying on a mat. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Take heart, son, your sins are forgiven." At this, some of the teachers of the law said to themselves, "This fellow is blaspheming." Knowing their thoughts, Jesus said, "Why do you entertain evil thoughts in your hearts? Which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven, or to say get up and walk? But so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." Then he said to the paralytic, "Get up, take your mat, and go home."
And then he heals the guy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the big deal here is Jesus actually forgave someone else's sins.
Right. He wasn't supposed to he was God.
Right. It wasn't something the guy did against Jesus. Mm-hmm. Jesus just forgave his sins point blank, all of them. And they said, "You can't do that. You're not God. That's blasphemy."
Right.
Jesus says, "Oh, you think I'm claiming to be God? Watch this." And then he raises this guy off his mat and heals him. I mean, so Jesus doesn't say, no, you misunderstood. I'm not claiming to be God. He goes...
He put an exclamation point behind it.
He put an exclamation point behind it. That's right. So, all right. Truthrevolution.tv is a website. Revolution Church is our church. come on out 9 o'clock, 11:15 every Sunday morning, and get over to Revolution Church or TruthRevolution.tv.
See you after the break.
Hey, this is Pastor Jeff from Revolution Church.
And I'm Dave. We've been growing and now we're going to two services.
Sunday morning at 9 a.m. or 11:15 a.m. Check us out at SalinaRevolution.com.
What if someone had never been to church before?
Well, most people here hadn't been for a long, long time, if ever, so don't worry, you'll fit in fine.
What to wear? Just be yourself. Jeans, t-shirt, tats, whatever.
Revolution Church, Sunday morning, 9 or 11:15 a.m.
SalinaRevolution.com or check us out on Facebook.
Revolution! Hi, this is Pastor Jeff from Revolution Church. Not only am I the host of the Truth Revolution radio program, but I'm also a foster parent. Did you know that there are only 20 or 30 children in Salina that need to be adopted right now? Did you know that there are children in foster care who want to live in Salina, but are sometimes placed in other towns because we don't have enough foster homes here? I want to challenge you to consider foster care today. If you're interested in doing foster care, go to kfapa.com, that's K-F-A-P-A, as in the Kansas Foster and Adoptive Parent Association.com, K-F-A-P-A.com, and get more information. You can request information, email and ask any questions you want, or possibly even sign up to take a class about foster parenting. It's easier and more difficult than you'd ever imagine, but it's also more rewarding than you'd ever imagine. Consider fostering and helping a child in need today.
Truth Shots from TruthRevolution.tv and Revolution Church. Here's your host, Dave, and Pastor Jeff.
After death, do humans become angels in heaven?
We'll often use the term angels metaphorically. My daughter is an angel.
This angel food cake is wonderful.
It's common to use the term angel as a term of endearment.
So, if that's all we mean, there's nothing wrong with the terminology.
But if we want to talk biblical facts, saying that a loved one has become an angel is actually downgrading them.
In 1 Corinthians 6, the Apostle Paul asks, "Do you not know that we will judge angels?"
You see, humanity, in some manner of speaking, will apparently rank above angels.
We'll even have the job of judging their actions.
So when you think of your loved ones who have passed on, remember their authority.
Think, too, about how Jesus will return and restore their bodies to perfection.
Remember when Christ rose from the dead and was perfect?
Philippians 3 says that Jesus will transform our lowly bodies so that they will become like his glorious body.
Perfect human bodies, just like Jesus. That is our goal, not to be an angel.
TruthRevolution.tv.
Did you know that Truth Revolution is supported by Revolution Church and listeners like you?
It takes quite a bit of time and money to produce a quality radio show.
If you find Truth Revolution helpful, a donation would be a powerful way to make sure the message keeps going out.
This ministry is doing more than Dave and I imagined it would at the beginning.
You got that right.
And as we grow, we want to keep the goal the same: to be the place where faith and reason meet.
Donations are accepted at www.truthrevolution.tv or Revolution Church.
Truth Revolution.
And we're back. We're talking about, did Jesus actually claim to be God? And what? Not only did he just claim to be God, did he claim to be God in the context of his own surroundings and generation?
You got it. You're the man.
I learned sometimes.
That's right. When we ask, did Jesus claim to be God, you have to put a little addendum on there.
Mm-hmm.
Did Jesus claim to be God in a way that his culture, his time, his people would understand?
Because totally reading it in our context today, we wouldn't necessarily get that.
No, we wouldn't get that. It doesn't. That's not the way we would say it if we came today, and if Jesus came today and was claiming to be God. So we have to ask if he claimed to be God in a way they would understand.
Mm-hmm.
And the answer is yes, he did.
Definitely.
I mean, we've looked at a number of these already. You know, Jesus received worship.
Mm-hmm.
Someone called him God, and he was like, oh, you believe. Good. He said, I and the Father are one, which people...
Ooh, blasphemy.
Yeah, they were like, that is blasphemy. He also forgave a guy's sins.
Right.
Which was my favorite. He forgave the guy's sins. Everyone flipped out and said, this is blasphemy. We're going to kill you.
Oh, yeah? Watch this.
Yeah.
And he healed the guy.
And he heals the guy. He says, oh, you think I'm claiming to be God? Well, if you think I'm claiming to be God just because I forgave him, check this out. Now he's healed and can walk again.
That's awesome.
I mean, I just...
Hold on. Let me point something out real quick.
Yeah. Dude,
we serve an awesome God.
Yeah, we do.
And it's just funny because... It's not only did he say, your sins are forgiven you, and then they railed against him about it. he's like, exclamation point, booyah, here you are.
Right.
You know, it was the it was the eternal version of booyah.
Well, Jesus' personality is pretty funny in this stuff too, because he says, I and the Father are one. And this is a different situation. He says, I and the Father are one. And he knows he's claiming to be God right when he says that. And they all start picking up stones. They're like, we're going to kill you for this. And he goes, it's just his personality. He goes, whoa. I've shown you a lot of good miracles. So just tell me, which of those miracles are you going to kill me for? I mean, like, how snarky is that?
Right.
And they're like, no, it's not for one of your miracles. He's like, oh, it's not?
Yeah.
Well, then why are you going to kill me? And they're like, because you claim to be God.
And I think he was actually trying to get them to point that out themselves, you know?
Yeah. Wow. It's just so funny. So I did a lot of good miracles. So which one of those good things are you going to stone me for? Like, come on, man. Also, you got to pay attention to the names that Jesus calls himself. This is another good verse. Psalm 23, verse 1. This is really important. Okay. It says this.
All right. 23:1. The Lord is my shepherd.
Okay. You know this psalm. Psalm 23 is very famous.
Yes.
It refers to God as the shepherd.
Yes.
And in their culture, God was their shepherd, right? They didn't say, oh, so-and-so is my shepherd. He's leading me. No, God was their shepherd.
Right.
Period. And that they didn't use it very many other ways, unless you were an actual shepherd for sheep.
Right.
But sheep
don't talk. Sheep won't say, the shepherd is my shepherd.
Right. And then in John 10, Jesus actually says this.
I am the good shepherd.
Uh-oh. Whoa.
Uh-oh.
Whoa. You see, he says, I'm a shepherd. Not only does he say, I'm a shepherd, using like God's name for himself, he says, I am the good shepherd.
And not only that, he said, I am the good shepherd.
Yeah, not like one of many.
Yeah.
I'm the only one. I'm the good one. I'm the good shepherd. And you remember elsewhere, Jesus was talking to a guy and he said, only God is good.
Yes.
Jesus said it. Only God is good. And then he said, I'm the good shepherd. I mean, you put those things together.
Right.
God's the shepherd. Only God is good. And then Jesus goes, yeah, and I'm the good shepherd.
Right.
The good shepherd. And that's pretty powerful.
Mm-hmm.
John 5, verse 18.
For this reason, the Jews tried all the harder to kill him. Not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but he was even calling God his own father, making himself equal to God.
Right. And this is something in our culture. We always call God our Father.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus taught us to pray that way so we can have this sense of an intimate relationship with God, our Father in heaven. However, the way Jesus used it was a little different. He was like, oh, God is my Father and I have the rights of my Father and you can't talk against me because I'm here doing my Father's business and no one else knows what my Father's business is except me. And in their culture, that was synonymous with saying, I'm equal with my Father.
Right.
It was like saying that you have power of attorney for somebody. You know, you have all the authority that they have. And people were going to kill him for this. They were going to kill him.
Right. Well, yeah, because, I mean, they really thought that, well, this is a man standing before me. He's claiming to be God.
Yeah. And, I mean, this is huge. I mean, if you compare it with Exodus, and you know what God's name is.
Mm-hmm.
God's name is I Am.
Right.
I mean, you also see he says, I am
the good shepherd.
The good shepherd.
So it's like that entire statement right there was nothing but God. That's me.
So, I mean, it's just, you know, there is a lot of reason here to see that Jesus was claiming to be God. Mm-hmm. I want to do one more big one, and then we're going to get to a listener question.
Okay.
This is the biggest one. Exodus chapter 3.
Chapter 3, verses 13 and 14.
This is the Old Testament, before Jesus.
Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they ask me, what is his name? Then what shall I say? What shall I tell them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you.
Okay, so God claims that his name is I am. All right, now Jesus is talking in John 8, 56 to 59.
All right.
This is what happens.
Your father Abraham rejoiced at the thought of seeing my day. He saw it and was glad. You were not yet 50 years old, the Jews said to him, and you have seen Abraham?
Now listen, this is important.
I tell you the truth, Jesus answered. Before Abraham was born, I am. At this, they picked up stones to stone him. But Jesus hid himself, slipping away from the temple grounds.
Right. Abraham was the father of Judaism.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he was the man.
Right.
And Jesus says, I existed before Abraham.
Right.
Not only did I exist before Abraham, but my name is I Am.
Right.
And they knew immediately what he was doing. Mm-hmm. He was claiming to be the God.
Right.
And so they were going to stone him and kill him because he claimed to exist before the founder of their religion exist. He claimed to have seen Abraham. He claimed the same name as God. This means he was claiming to be God. All right, let's go ahead and do a listener question.
I got a question.
All right, question comes from James. Not the book, but the person.
Hey, James.
If the Old Testament commands by God to kill children and women seem to go against our moral conscience, doesn't this point towards a deistic God putting morality in our hearts and not the biblical God?
Okay, so he's basically saying, he looks at the Old Testament and he sees God killing women and children.
Mm-hmm.
And he says this violates human conscience, or it might. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we have morality on our conscience, doesn't this mean there's some other God that has put this on our conscience,
right,
other than the God who told people to kill women and children?
Right. The deistic God as compared to the biblical God.
Right, right. So I guess I would always start out and say, well, so are you agreeing that there's a God?
Right. And obviously.
Good.
Saying there, yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
If you're agreeing there's a God, good. Now, if you don't believe there's a God, then this question is moot.
Right.
Right. All right. But let's assume this means that there is another God. Does that mean we don't worship Jesus? No, I mean, he's still our God.
Right.
He claimed to be God. He's still our God. He still fulfilled a prophecy. So we still worship Jesus as God, even if there was a different God somewhere. So that's the big point. But there's at least three different possibilities. There's probably many more, but just, you know, there's at least three. I mean, one of them is that there is a different God putting morality in our hearts other than the biblical God. I think that's the least likely.
Right.
You know, Psalm 86:1 says, "For you are great and do marvelous deeds. You alone are God." But the second option, though, is that the morality in our conscience is different than the morality of God.
Right.
You know, perhaps you see things that God's doing and you're like, oh, I don't like that. Well, maybe that's because your conscience is different than the morality of God. 1 Corinthians 8 says, some people are still so accustomed to idols that when they eat sacrificial food, they think of it as having been sacrificed to a god. And since their conscience is weak, it is defiled.
Right.
Here you see already that our consciences are different.
Right.
Sometimes we can't do things that God can do and right. be okay with.
It's even being claimed right in there that God is basically saying that
it's okay to do this, but yeah. some people's consciences don't allow them to.
Right.
So sometimes your conscience is different than what God allows mm-hmm. or can do. Again, 1 Timothy 4, the Spirit clearly says that in later times, some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Such teachings come through hypocritical liars whose consciences have been seared as with a hot iron. So here we see that consciences can be seared and
right.
brought off track.
Mm-hmm.
And so your conscience doesn't always line up with God. Isaiah 55:8 says this,
"For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord."
Right here, boom, God's ways are different than our ways. Absolutely, clearly.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way around it. There's a third possibility. Maybe we have misunderstood the text, the Bible, or we've misunderstood God's reasons for his actions.
Right.
You know, perhaps some of these things were hyperbole. I'd invite you to look at these texts. Actually, look at them themselves when God tells people to do this stuff. For instance, Psalm 137:9 says, "Happy is one who seizes your infants and dashes them against the rocks."
What?
Here is not actually a prescription that God is saying, yeah, do this. He's using hyperbole to make a point. Okay, in our cracked acronym, the letter D, dialect. You have to understand the type of language that they're using. And they don't always use scientific language like, oh, okay, here God says to dash babies' heads on the rocks. No,
right.
He's using hyperbole to make a point. But, you know, perhaps sometimes we don't see a big enough picture. God has a wider picture than we do. Some people argue that God's a moral monster for not taking Hitler out as a child.
Right.
Well, you know, who's to say that God had not taken out many people who were 100 times worse than Hitler?
Right.
We can't have it both ways. We can't say, well, God should have taken out Hitler, but then be mad at God for taking out other people.
Right, simply because we don't see the whole picture.
Isaiah 55:8, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord." I mean,
Amen.
Ultimately it comes down to this. He's God.
And we're not.
We're not. I don't understand everything he does. I don't think it leads to the conclusion that there's a different God, but that I definitely see things differently than him. Amen. I'm going to have to trust the other things I know about him to be true, like his goodness, his mercy.
Right.
And how does that work in there? So, all right, cracked acronym. If you're interested in the book, text, email, questions at truthrevolution.tv. Get over to truthrevolution.tv right now, and come on over to Revolution Church sometime. We'd love to have you.
There you go.
God bless. See you next week.